be beginning with Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, if you want to turn there in your copy of God's Word. Ephesians 1, excuse me, 6, 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And then if you would please stand in honor of reading God's Word, we'll begin with the first verse of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word will stand forever and always. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but thereunto it leads to death. But Lord, we know with your word we have a choice of life or death. And Lord, I pray today that we would choose your word, which would be in doing so, we would choose life. And the Lord, you would lead us and guide us. When the world, Lord, ignores your word, Lord, might we create an atmosphere and a kingdom by which your word stands and is modeled and practiced. And so, Father, we pray and thank you for this privilege this morning. And, Father, we pray that you'd speak to us the importance of these verses and that, Lord, you would remind us, Lord, how to best live in this world before you, to glorify you and to lead others. And I pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Father's Day, special day. As I said earlier, it's a special time of the year. It's a time of recognizing fathers among us and what have you. And so I think in this world that we live in today, it seems that we've forgotten this truth and we need to revisit it. We need to revisit it for many reasons. First, I want to begin with children. We need to be revisiting this for the sake of children. I've got two young men sitting right over here in this side room. They need to hear these kind of messages. And quite frankly, we can't rely always upon a father maybe to teach them. But it needs to be said. God's word needs to be proclaimed whether or not everyone's proclaiming it, or whether or not anyone else is even living it. It's still truth nonetheless, and is no less true either. So it is good for us, and it is good for us to proclaim it, even though it may not be the social norm, and even though society itself, in principle, may not be practicing it, and even though in our lives we may be failing as well. But it still is true nonetheless, and it is still no less true. And so in this passage, I want to look at this, and I want to kind of develop this idea of a father's love and whatever, as how the Lord lays it all out. But first, children, obey your parents. Now, we talked about this on Mother's Day, right? Mom and dad are parents. And so we are to honor our parents. Children, it doesn't matter how old you get, you still should be honoring your father and your mother, okay? You never get to an age by which you can dishonor your mother and father before holy God and get away with it, okay? And as you grow older, you ought to come to an understanding where you ought to be honoring your mother and father, even when they may have even done some mistakes. And here's the thing, I find that when kids become parents, they find out how tough being a parent is, and they give a lot more grace than when they were a kid. I'm just telling you. I know I did. I gave a lot more grace to my parents once I became a parent, because I now understood much more what I didn't understand before. And so I think there's something to be said for that. And I think the older I get, the more appreciative I am of my parents in all of their failings even. In all of their failings, I'm still much, much, much more appreciative of my mom and my dad. Even in the case of maybe their failings. And so the point being is that we're to obey our parents and the Lord. And it's strictly because, and we need to re-say this, because it's right. Now, I know he's going to give a promise here in a minute that your days may be long upon the earth. But the real reason we ought to be doing it is simply because it's right. It is never right to disobey or dishonor your mother and father. Let's get that. It is never right to dishonor your mother and father. Because it is right to honor your mother and father. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And the way that you honor your father and mother, as it said in the Old Testament, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth. The way you honor them is obeying them. Obeying them. Now, I know sometimes we may say, well, if I obeyed my parents, this is what I'd be doing. You know. But generally, parents don't give destructive instructions to their kids. That may be an exception somewhere. Or it may be because of the fact that they don't know how to tell their kids to live. But quite frankly, sometimes we realize the destructive ways in our own lives, and usually we want better for our kids. Now, sometimes we may neglect that responsibility, but the fact is, we parents generally want better for our kids. We generally do. We want them to have what we didn't have. We want them to have things we didn't have. We want them to have privileges we didn't have. We want them to do better than us. And so the natural inclination of a parent is to lead their children in the way of righteousness for his name's sake, or to lead them in the way of righteousness just so that their life would be better than it was otherwise. And sometimes, you know, children just don't get this sometimes, because they think, well, if mom and dad loved me, they'd let me have my way. And you know what? That's exactly how we treat God. Our Father. If God loved me, He'd give me my way. You know? But I want you to know that a father's love is a great love, and it doesn't always get your way. As a matter of fact, oftentimes I find that the love of God the Father, I get less of my way. And the thing is that the more I honor Him, I come over to His way of thinking. Wouldn't you love for your children to come over to your way of thinking? Amen? We really would. But he does. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That it's just that plain and simple. It's just right. All is right in the world when we obey our parents, and things will go better for us. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. And I'm not going to revisit that we talked about on Mother's Day for the sake of time. But there is a promise here of long life because you obey your parents. And part of that has to do with the fact that your parents will guard you and guide you in ways of obedience that will be a blessing to you and not shortening of your life. You know, there's a reason why your mother tells you, look both ways before you cross the street. That's not because you can pass a great test of how to walk across the street, or that you can go tell your friends, this is the way you walk across the street. They're doing that for your own protection. And a lot of the things that God says to us is always about for our protection. His watching out over us. But this text also comes with While the promise is there, and while God is guiding the children there, and we've got a lot to learn. We've got a lot to learn about how a child responds to his father, and the way he honors or she honors her mother and father, the way we ought to be honoring our Heavenly Father. There's a lot to these relationships that get explained about the way that we should serve our Lord and Father. But also he gives the instructions to the fathers, which I find is always troubled me. How come he doesn't say this to mamas? But there's not a word in here that's not important. I'm telling you. It has its reason of why he spoke to fathers. And I really think that there's something to be said for this. And because I think that we fathers bear a different responsibility. You know, within the family unit, there is functionality. And there's a part that the husband and the wife all play in that functional role in raising a child. That's the reason why men and husbands and daddies are not expendable in raising children. They're not an option. There's something that's needed. There's something they supply. There's a function that they play. There's a role that they play. And they need to play it well. And so he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, the Greek word there is the idea of discouraging them, exasperating them. Sometimes fathers father with a very, very heavy hand and we ruin the spirit of our children. The scripture says to train up a child in the way they should go or the way that they're bent, recognizing that about them and teaching them and training them in the way that they're bent. And not every child is raised the same way. You know, I got six kids and I've got a niece that I'm raised. And that I'm now being a grandparent to her newborn that's about to be born. Do they even know what that's going to be yet? I didn't think so. I welcomed Chad to fatherhood this morning, and I'm like, I don't think they know what gender the child's going to be yet. So I did that rightly. But nevertheless, the point being is that, you know, we have a responsibility not to exasperate. That's kind of the Greek term there. Exasperate our children, not to provoke them to wrath, the scripture says. As a matter of fact, that's our first instruction of these three things that we're to do as men. First is not to exasperate our children, not to ruin their spirit, not to provoke them to wrath. And so many times in this world that we live in today, it seems that, first of all, men don't know how to be husbands, because we want to lord over our wives rather than serve them like Christ served the church and cherished her and put her on a pedestal and lived by sacrificing himself for her and giving himself up for her. Instead, we follow the ways of the world and we lord it over them, you know. In the same way, we wind up exasperating our children because we wind up provoking them to wrath because we think that we raise children by a very heavy and hard hand. Now, I will say, I've been guilty of that myself. You know why? Because that's the way I learned it myself, you know. My dad said, you know, he really believed that verse of scripture, spare the rod, spoil the child, you know. He was long on that rod, and he didn't want me to be spoiled in any way, you know. And, you know, that. But here's the thing. I appreciate every discipline act my dad ever took in my life. Even some of those that were a little bit more admonishing than others. But the point is not to kill and destroy the spirit of a child. That's what we're after. We're molding and shaping a child. It's very important. Now, let me say this. Today, we're erring in the other way. Most of the time, we're erring the other way because we, out of fear of men lording over them, we've gone the other direction to the point that we're not correcting our kids, and the kids are now ruling the roost. I'm just telling you. That's the way the world is today. The children are now having the authority over their parents. And that's not God's design. I want you to know that. We are to serve them, and we are to care for them, and we ought to admonish them, we're to encourage them, we're to strengthen them, but in no way should we abandon our responsibility and our function as a father in the rearing and raising of our children. We can't exasperate them. We can't provoke them to wrath, but we also can't abandon our responsibility. We must embrace it. Men, we must be men. We must be men of God, fathers of God. And that means you're going to do some things that's uncomfortable sometimes. You know, I'm blessed to watch my son-in-laws the way they serve their children, the way they live their life for their kids, and you know, even change diapers. Hey, man, that's a big man. I'm sorry, that's a big man. A diaper changing father is a big man. You can listen. All us guys can play big, proud, puffed out chest all we want. I can tell you this right now. A father that will change those diapers is a champion. I'm just telling you. You know, sometimes we think, well, that's the women's work. That's how it was in our house, wasn't it, baby, most of the time? Honestly, I was one of those fathers that said, well, they must have just messed their britches. If she just walked in, they just did it. I mean, there were my times, I get it, there were my times where it just could not be avoided and I had to do it. But it was not my best favorite thing to do, you know. But man, I watch my son-in-laws and the way that they are with their kids, and I just wish, my goodness, if I could just be half the father that my son-in-laws were, that are to my kids, or my grandkids, I'd have been such a better dad. So much better dad, you know. But the thing is, it's not just about changing diapers. But the thing is, again, back to this idea of exasperating our kids, we need to build into them and mold and shape and hone them without breaking their spirit. You know, it's leading them. It's guiding them. It's staying with them in tough times and not giving up on them. You know, I love the prodigal son's story about the dad. And I love that dad never gave up on his son. You know, it's popular today for dads still to, well, we disown them in different ways. We just don't have anything to do with them. We abandon fatherhood. We just abandon it, okay? In olden days, we abandoned it, just ignoring it, saying, hey, that's women work. You know, and, you know, come to me when you need some discipline, you know, that sort of thing. But the point is that we are to mold and shape these children that God's put in our hands. And we men bear a great responsibility in doing that. It's important that we do it. The children need this in their lives. Our wives need to see us do it. And they need to see us model this kind of love and care for our kids, not provoking them to wrath, but molding and shaping them. You know, God gives us stewards, makes us stewards of our children. Do you know that our children are only in loan to us? The creator of the universe owns them. He knit them together. He put them together in womb. And I would say this too. He also knew that Jordan was given to Leif and Julia. He chose you to have Jordan. And my goodness, Greta, can't think of her name a moment for a second, escaped me. Greta. God chose those things. And God knows what He's doing. And He knows He can use you to mold and shape that boy or that girl. He knows the plans He has for you, plans to bless you. Don't be overwhelmed by the task. And don't check out, because God's got great plans of you learning through those children, you learning as well. But what are we to do? Not only not provoke our children to wrath, but also to train them. Train them. Train them. I mean, it's like a coach. You're training them. We put them through drills. You know, you're teaching them life. How do you teach life? Well, Jesus taught life by walking in the way. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, He told them, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk in the way, train those children. Teach those children. And you know what? So many times we think, I got to sit them down and I got to preach it out to them. That's not it. As a father, I learned that I had to find for teachable moments. especially when you got six kids. They're not all learning at the same level. They're not all learning at the same time. They're not all ready to learn at the same time. Sometimes you sit down and you got six of them. One's picking its nose. The other one's piddling with this. The other one's piddling with that. Quite frankly, all six of them probably distracted. But you let a teachable moment come up while you're walking in the way, while you're rising up in the morning, while you're lying down at night. And you can make more headway in building into that child's life in those moments than you can all those devotional times that you struggled and wanted to lay the law down to them right then. There's something about being in that teachable moment when they want answers for life that they come to mom and dad and it's time to say, hey, let me train you. Now, we don't say that, but we do that. But we got to be ready in season and out of season. We got to be ready when the time is right. And sometimes we've been checked out and then the kid checks in and we don't know what to do. We don't know how to give that answer. But friends, we need to be prepared for that training. You never know when the day may be the day that they need some training. But you need to be ready when it's time to train. Also, he says to train them, don't provoke them, admonish them. You know, lead them on that way. Reprimand them as they need to. They need instruction and change and admonition. They need that. Don't skirt that. The kids need accountability. It breeds safety. They need to know the boundaries. They need to know the security. They need to know the safe haven. They need to know the consistency of a daddy. It's always going to be there. It's always going to guide them. It's always going to protect them. Kids need daddies. And daddies need kids. God made it that way. God made it that way. A father who isn't needed by his kid, or he thinks he's not needed by a kid, I'll tell you, fathers whose life is empty. Because part of him functioning, being a real man, is having that opportunity to pour his life into a child, training them and admonishing them in the Lord. And sometimes we don't have that opportunity. Maybe because we abandon that opportunity, whatever it is. But here's, let me say this. I know that even in late in life, when you've made mistakes, that God can provide another opportunity when you're later on and make some changes in your life. I've seen that happen in my own dad's life. You know, going in the all wrong directions when he was younger. And I guess I was 34, so dad would have been 51, when he started coming to his senses. My dad was only 17 years older than me. My mom was 16 years older than me. They were kids themselves when they were having kids. But the thing is that those last years of my dad's life really changed things. And he was able to put into my kids' life. You know, my kids don't really know that other dad. You know, I'm glad that you don't. She only knows Pawpaw. You know? And I'm glad for that. You know, that's a tribute. I'm grateful for those things. So you can still win the battle in some of those cases. Even my mom getting saved in 97 and changing her life and even striving to build a relationship not only with me but with my kids even today. She's even got a Facebook account when she don't even know how to do Facebook, just so she can comment on the Facebook pages. And sometimes she don't know what to say, she don't know what button pushes, but she always makes those little silly mistakes, but that's okay. She'll send it before she's finished saying what she wants to say and all those other things. You say you're too old for Facebook? Just find a way to communicate with your kids because you can train them and admonish them in every aspect you want, and even your kids' kids. I think it's important that we leave a legacy. And we're gonna kind of sum it up with this. I want you to see one other aspect, and I want you to know this. God is always leading us, admonishing us, not exasperating us, training us, and leading us in every way. In Hebrews, let's see if I marked this. I thought I did. No, I didn't. Do you have that up there, Katie? There we go. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Go ahead, go to the next one. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate, not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of the spirits and life? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. And that's so true. Our fathers do what they seem best to them. And yeah, as I said at the beginning, they've made mistakes. What father doesn't? Okay? But what else does he say? But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Isn't that great? I don't have a father to chasten me and discipline me, and it seems great for the present, but it's not. We find ourselves to be illegitimate children, not having that admonition, not having that instruction, not having that training. It becomes painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know what, folks? I'll say it again. I am thankful for every disciplinary act my parents ever took on me. Let me say this further. I'm thankful for every disciplinary action my grandparents took on me. And boy, did my grandparents take some on me. And I'm grateful for it. It's made a difference in my life. And I can remember the time my grandmother sent me out to get a switch. Do y'all remember switches? My grandma sent me out. We had a weeping willow tree right outside the deal, and we also had another tree called a mimosa tree. You know how whippy mimosa trees are? Well, I didn't like the willow tree because they're pretty whippy too. So my grandmother sent me out there, and I said, well, I'm going to get something off this mimosa tree. And you know what I did? I brought back in that one, you know how you take a mimosa leaf and you strip it? And you got that little stem? That's what I brought her for a switch. And my grandmother went back out there and found a proper switch. And then she gave me a proper switching. We're grateful for our parents and our grandparents' nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'm telling you, folks, thanks be to Grandma Mac. Grandpa Mac. Because at the age of 14, those two grandparents invited me and my mom and dad and the rest of my family to a revival service in a little Baptist church called Pleasant Haven Baptist Church just south of Mesquite, Texas. And at the age of 14, I walked that aisle from that back pew down this aisle to talk to my grandpa, who was a deacon in that church, much like Brother Dennis Moore is on Sunday morning. And my grandfather counseled me in coming to faith in Jesus Christ that morning, Grandpa Mac. I thank God for every disciplinary act my parents have taken in my life and even my grandparents. Grandparents, you're still parenting. And you'll still be parenting. Even as your great-grandparents, you are still parenting. I hear some of what you, even some of you great-grandparents in here are already teaching some of your great-grandchildren. And praise be to God for that. Raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Parents and grandparents and great-grandparents need kids, and kids need parents and great-grandparents and grandparents to live and function in the capacity that God intended us to do, to bring glory to His holy name. The Father is a good, good Father, folks. The good thing about Him, He will always be there, not to provoke you to wrath, but to train you and admonish you and lead you in ways of righteousness for His name's sake. He's the good, good Father. He's the good, good Father. In some cases, we might not have a good example of what a father is. I'll tell you a good example. His name is God of all creation. His name is Jesus Christ. He is indeed the good, good Father, the good, good Son, the good, good Spirit that leads us in the way of right life. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we